to the hard-working people. Let's drink to the lonely of birth. I wanna raise my glass to the good and the evil. Let's drink to the salt of the earth. Say a prayer for our hard-fighting soldiers. Give some thought to their life-risking work. How about a prayer for their spouses and children? They keep the home fires burning and still, still yearn. Crowd, a swirling mass of gray, black and white. They don't look real to me. In fact, they look so strange. Raise your glass to the hard-working people. The uncounted hits. I wanna make a toast to the wavering millions. We need leaders, but get gamblers instead. Spare a thought for the stay-at-home voter.
Good morning. That was Miss Betty Levette from days gone way, way back. And I want to thank you and welcome to the Carol Cox Show, another Sunday morning. And hey, good news is that the world didn't end. And the bad news, well, I guess that would be, this would be good news too, is that all the politicians and all those folks that couldn't get it right the first time around, hey, you get a second chance to do good. And we can start right here in Honolulu by allowing people to feed people, unlike we put people in jail for feeding birds and cats and rats. And imagine the world we live in now, that our politicians would allow themselves to gravitate to such a horrible, horrible state that they would. Now you go to the parks and you'll see that little sections that say no feeding of animals and people. And I look back and I think, boy, who are these people making these laws? Well, it's, believe it or not, it's the same people that they call themselves government and government officials and politicians. But if you, in my definition, in my opinion, anybody that works for the government in a legislative position or representative, that is welfare, because you've learned to milk the system. And maybe we should put a sign up that says, don't feed the politicians anymore. Neil Abercrombie has at least 40 years. Senator Daniel Inouye, and we're not living in a perfect world. So let's not feed the politicians. If we're going to change those signs, let's do that. But we need a softer, gentler kind of a nation. Everything's going to pot. But I, again, like I say, I'm so glad that the world didn't end. Man, I was on pins and needles. Now I got to start all over because I went and spent all of my money. I partied so hard that I tell you what, I just couldn't find my way home. I was so drunk from spending that money, and I borrowed money, and maybe I can call the same idiots that gave this preacher all of this money to post these signs. But anyway, so much for predictions, and don't just trust guarantees any longer. Because remember, this gentleman said the Bible guaranteed it. So when you buy a new washer and dryer, better read closely, because you, if you can't trust the Bible's guarantee, my goodness, when can we start trusting the dishwasher salesman or the car salesman? So read the small print, because if the Bible failed you, then, and I'm not being nasty about this, but I have no reason to believe that this man didn't know what he was talking about. Maybe it was a little delay. Maybe we got a reprieve. He may have been right. But what if he was wrong? Is he wrong like the many others that make predictions and tell you what's wrong, what's right? So anyway, many of the things that's going on, last week we talked about the city buying trucks, $2 million worth of garbage trucks, and hiding them up in Halava Canyon. Some of you may have seen that on KGMB or the Hawaii News Now. And I'm still following that because we're still not getting the straight skinny. Even while chasing the issue, now the trucks, you simply can't put people in these trucks. Three people, three grown men. One looks like a baby seat. Now, those that do listen to the show regularly may have heard the talk about the gentleman and the crew going back to Minnesota to look at these trucks. And isn't it funny that they go all the way back there, they take their wives, and they couldn't figure out what was wrong with the trucks? What purpose did they serve going there? These are the free benefits and the perks that these guys get for screwing up on the job. And I think back at Miley Stream, that was a couple million dollars that the city squandered. Now 2 million in trucks. That's almost, I would say, closing in on $6 million total for the total loss in overtime, the cleanup, and probably, who knows if EPA is going to find them. But imagine that. Two separate incidents. And I spoke with Robert Primiano, who is the AES mechanic or head, whatever you call him, for the city on those trucks. And you should have seen them. They put out Wesley Chong there to counter what it was that I said about the trucks having them hiding up there in Halava. Now, maybe you can share with me, help me, because I'm confused. The allegations and the information I originally received from supervisors and workers and drivers that the trucks, the seats were too small, and that there were safety concerns. Now, the city didn't deny that the trucks were just parked up there idle doing nothing while another 20 trucks or more out of the garbage collection system is broken and waiting to be repaired. So that gives us about 30 trucks out of the system. That's why we have all this garbage piled up. But the bigger problem is we're spending more than $1 million to hire a private company to go out and pick up the bulky item that the trucks should have been picking up, but they're parked because they don't have room for the workers. But the city denied that it is the seat and the seatbelt issue. So I asked them, well, what is the problem? Well, it's some deficiencies, discrepancies, as he called them. Well, can you tell me what they are then? You see, the trick here is they have no shame in acknowledging that the trucks are laying idle. They just want to debate why I would make the statement that the seatbelts is a reason. You know, they didn't apologize to the public for buying trucks. And then the explanation was, we haven't paid for them yet. So the theory right now, the worry on the street is that these trucks might be sent back. Now, I don't have any proof of that, but going out on a limb, and you never know, you can stare the truth in the face, but with the city, they're so busy trying to show that you don't know what you're talking about that they run the risk of really showing that they really don't know what they're doing. But anyway, that's the kind of stuff. But so you add that up, and there are other instances that are, so when we talk about fees and raising fees and what have you, that is a troubling thing. Now, I invited Mr. Stanley Chang, he's the city council from Hawaii Kai, and I wanted to discuss with him, and I invited him now, but you see, on the Carol Cox Show, we try to talk facts, and I don't ever intend to have to go to the parties and hang out with them, and I'm not going to expect a job from them or any favors from the city council. If I have to pay fees, I pay them. If I have to comply with the law, I comply. So I'm not looking for any favors. So therefore, I believe that as a citizen and as having hosted this show, these people should, in fact, talk to me. Well, I spoke with them, and the issue was on, as we talked last week briefly, on the landfill and the ASR, the auto scrap recycle fluff, where Snitch is still wanting to get a discount, a waiver, or what have you. And there's some figures, and I don't have the exact figures, and I'm just going to toss this out loosely, but Snitcher has benefited for years with this break or this benefit, a waiver of fees of some portions of it. And I sent in testimony in opposition recently. They heard it, and what they did was apparently went ahead and passed it. And I want to walk you through. Now, I just showed you for $7 million, and I didn't get to talk about everything else. But just in a casual, cursory effort of walking around and with my camera and just looking, and I'm finding $7 million squandered. And that was no effort. So how is it then we have all of the budget cuts, we're strapped for cash, we have to increase fees, we raise our car fees, we do all of that. Now, Chang, you see, when they come to town and they come and they get in the hot seat, before they get there, they tell you, I'm going to be different from the Democrats, and I'm going to bring a no-nonsense approach to this. Let me show you the nonsense. I guess it's just it's natural behavior for a, quote, politician. Now, they voted down Bill 47 and said, no, we're not going to give any waivers. But then they turned around and introduced another bill where they're going to have it decreasing 80 60-40, whatever it is, they weren't clear to me. And so I asked some of the basic questions of Chang. Did you require Snitcher Steele to request or justify, or any other company to justify their need for a waiver? Well, they didn't approach him. He don't know. He then represented that Snitcher won't accept the cars with the seats and the foam and the rubber and things of that nature, which would be part of the ASF. So I asked him, well, how do you know that? Did Snitcher still write you a formal letter telling you they won't? Well, no. So it began to seem like, and in my opinion, it appear that he's not only the city councilman for Hawaii Kai, Stanley Chang is representing Snitcher Steele, and to heck with the people. So we're going to give that discount. We haven't demanded that they show us a reason why they need it, and metal now is $450 a ton, and I'm told, in some instances. When we gave that originally, it was the scrap metal prices were low, very low. So quite naturally, you want to offset and encourage recycling, and I'm all for recycling and what have you. And but the big deal is that he wishes to promote, and I raise the question, well, how is it that you can give money to a private company and then stand with the, just to stand there and look in the public eye and tell them that you need to raise their fees? So I asked him about the lobbyists. Did the lobbyists get to it? And well, he said, no, he hadn't got any, hadn't been approached by those people, blah, blah, blah. But the truth is, yes, he has been approached. They all have been approached by. And in fact, you don't have to approach, in this town, politician, it seems. All you need to do is just wave a little cash in their face, because you see, once they're in, they want to stay in. And then they don't think about doing what it is that they made the promises to do. They think about, now that I'm in, I got to stay in. And to win, I got to listen to everybody. I got to listen to them all, but only act on those that are going to pay me. And that's what it appears that has taken place in this situation. And there's Ms. Kobayashi and all of them. Now, follow me on this. I don't have any real concern other than I want to see, make sure that we don't have trash on the streets. It's an eyesore. It's bad for the environment. It's demeaning to people to subject anyone to dirt and trash and what have you, chemicals, and where they live. So here's a bigger problem with this Snitcher Steele break or waiver of fees. Now, the city, and I don't have the exact numbers, because remember now, this was furlough day, just Friday, so this came to me, I attempted, but you can't contact the city because we're broke, so they need to have everybody off. So when we have questions, we have 4 days to ask it if they return calls to us. So I'm going to go out on a limb here and try to explain it, and I'm hoping I do this in a fashion that they call or write to correct me, and then I can engage them. Hint, hint. So now, if we're getting $95 a ton, we the city, when trash is dumped at the landfill. Now, I don't know the exact amount. The contract was amended and folded and whatever, but I recall somewhere in that a ballpark figure. So if Stanley Chang and the other council people wish to give this discount to Snitcher Steele at 80%, and that's going to leave them, let's just say, $20 that Snitcher would be paying per ton. Now, again, don't call me up telling me about the figures, because I just explained to you getting any straight answers from any of these dudes is absolutely like asking the last crook which bank you robbed. They're just not forthright with the info. So I'm going to build this on this premise, and that is they keep us in the dark so that they can play loosely. And what then happens is they give the 80% to Schnitzer or anyone. Now, there's waste management. You see, the city does not operate the landfill. They have a contractor who is waste management. Now, waste management don't care how much the lobbyists give the politicians. They don't care how much, because they're in the business to make money as well in managing trash. So when that ton of trash that we just waived 80% comes across the scale at the city's own landfill, waste management take over that trash, and they charge the city somewhere between $12 and $20, or probably, I'm told, $25. So if we waive 80% from Schnitzer, for Schnitzer, who's paying that 20% or that $20 or that $15 to waste management to accept the trash and or the ASR and take care of it and bury it? So this process, it likely the city will be paying or close nearly paying Schnitzer or paying for Schnitzer to come and dump its trash at the landfill. I'm doing research and can't find anywhere else that Schnitzer gets this break. So, anyway, why am I talking about this? Well, quite often we see the fees going up and we seem helpless. But if we can get something to wrap our little fingers around and then hold these people accountable, we might have some success in changing what it is that's occurring here. Because unless you and I get out there immediately and take control over this, I think it would be like the gentleman says, Mr. Kemp, the Reverend Kemp, says that the world we're in, I think as we know it as a democracy in this state, the world has ended, because we now at the mercy of the politicians to raise our fees, raise our taxes, and then to give us laws that barely addresses nepotism, barely addresses friends being hired, barely addresses ethics, or even allow them to legally increase the take that they can accept from lobbyists or people who want to bribe them. So I don't know about you, but that seems to be the climate here, and if it's something that I'm not clearly stating, all I can say is that I personally went down to the DPP, the Department of Planning and Permitting, just the other day. And how ridiculous is it? Well, to get a document, you have to, just to get one document, folks. Now, let's say you just wanted one building permit from a file, from a CUP file that was upstairs. Or one letter. You know the letter. You know when it was written, you know who wrote it. That letter would cost you a minimum of $5.75. Not to mention the parking that you're going to have to pay to walk up. I don't know if many of you have gone to the DPP lately, but they treat you like you are a criminal. You walk up, you have to stand back away from the gate, and stand there until you're recognized by the security guards. Then you come in and you have to present your ID. Once you sign in, then you tell them and declare where you're going. And you go in and you ask for this one document. They come back and says, well, that'll be $5 for the research and 50 cents for the first page and 25 cents for the following page. So, if a document costs, if the letter consists of four pages, guess what you're paying for one letter? Not to mention your gas, not to mention the fact that we have traffic issues in this town, and if they were to put that information online, scan it in. You could obtain it electronically because it is public record. But the problem is some of these files aren't updated for years. They may sit on the document so that they can keep you out of the know. So if you're not angry, and because you don't have the background of the knowledge in it, just follow my lead. What I'll tell you right now is that it's badly broken. I'm a person who seeks these things and know where to find them, and it's even difficult for me. And when I do find it, then we have the DPP who, or city government, who will stall. So it could be one page. You write it in on the ninth day, of which they have 10 days. They'll write you back and say, we need more time. The information you're requesting, we have to see if, in fact, this could be released to you. Now, it took them 10 days, practically, within the legal time, but then they write and say, we need more time. Now, imagine you going in and not knowing this process and this procedure. So, all of this comes on the heels of fees increase. They say we need to hire more people. If you listen, any time we have a problem, the first thing they say is we need to have fee increase. We need to raise, we need to hire more people. Well, if you hire more people, there's a great chance that you would simply find nothing more than more delay and more of the same. So I just went into, for example, down at the state health department. They're supposed to be on furlough last Friday. Would you believe that there at the health department, all of the state employees were working, but it was supposed to be a furlough? So what does furloughs mean? Those people weren't working there for free that day. I'm sure the union wouldn't allow it, and I'm sure they wouldn't allow it. So why were they at work? Why? The lights were pretty much toned down in the hallways, but in their offices, the light were on, and the people were there working. So there's a big lie going on here. How is it that state workers can be at the office working, and it's supposed to be a furlough day, yet the public can't have access to those people, but they're there present. So who paid that? So this goes back to that, don't feed the people, don't feed the birds. This tells you we're in a sick, sick era when our politicians would dare to even utter, don't feed the people, while there's still this waste and this abuse of authority and this disrespect and neglect toward the public. And the state situation, you know who's to blame for that. That's, I won't raise any taxes, I won't do this, Neil Abercrombie. And when you, I don't know where Neil is going with this game that he has, but it's a terrible situation when you, if you stand back and look at it all and you are privy to seeing what's going on, you'd pull your hair out, because there's no other explanation to say that this man is simply mean-spirited. He pulled the wool over most of us, over our eyes. Good morning, caller. Comment or question?
Hi, Carol. I have a comment.
Yes, sir.
Carol, you know what? You know how everybody complains that they can hardly hear you?
Mm-hmm.
When they call in, I think you have... If you know anything, I don't think you have anybody helping you with the board, right?
Can you hear me? Or?
Well, it's real faint. But I just wanted to I have a comment, but I just want to tell you, if you know where the gain is, just turn up the gain.
Well, it's all turned up. Let's see here.
Everything's turned up.
Everything's turned up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my fault again.
It's been a problem lately.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'll do the best I can.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you. You know, you sound like you're about 2 miles away.
Well, you want to keep your distance from me, you know.
Yeah, that's right. it's a good thing. Carol, I wanted to ask you, mm-hmm. I think a lot of people may have seen Mr. Abercrombie on the news last week. Somewhat, he had gone to Maui for a nurses' convention.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the nurses was using her phone to capture his image speaking, and one of the nurses had challenged him. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it set him off so much, Carol, that he said, when we were trying to pass the increase on the soda tax, were you there? And he's talking to the nurses overall, right? And
mm-hmm.
the lady goes, no. And then he totally goes off on this woman, and the lady filming him is on the side, like a couple people away from this one lady talking to him. And he's hunched over on the edge of the stage, you know,
mm-hmm.
berating her and just literally shouting down at her, you know, and see where were you? Where were you when we needed you to increase the soda tax?
Mm-hmm.
None of you showed up.
Right.
And so the point was that I realized, I was wondering, what is going on? And what it was is that he wanted to use the increase, supposedly, the increase in the soda tax to help give the nurses more money, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it just, I mean, it's just really revealing because it was done absolutely candidly, right?
Right.
He would have never responded, acted, or said anything of the such as he did. I'm sure there's other listeners that may have caught that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I just wanted to throw that in there because this governor is becoming extremely revealing in a very short amount of time, in my opinion.
Right. Well, I look at Mr. Neil Abercrombie, our governor, as being one of the most dangerous, most disrespectful people that I have witnessed. I saw it before he got in office, where someone wrote a vile letter that worked for the Hannaman administration.
Carol, if I may, I'm going to jump off the line and listen to you on the radio. Thank
Alrighty.
You.
Alrighty. Thanks. So Abercrombie didn't wish to give that letter, but there were threats made toward me and what have you, and he didn't want to release that email. So this is the kind of people he would harbor, such people, and they felt that it was technical. But being that we're talking about it, Mr. Abercrombie and his behavior, I've told you a while back that his press person, Donalyn De La Cruz, the sister of Senator Donovan De La Cruz, felt that I don't qualify as media to be on their list to receive press releases. I mean, that just takes a punch in the button. But I just wrote a letter wanting some questions from the governor's office regarding the Department of Land and Natural Resources chief of law enforcement. You remember way back I did a story when Laura Phelan was on as the chairperson prior to William Ila. She hired, on the suspicion and everything else, Mr. Mark Young, and who quit. But before she left, she appointed in a temporary acting position for the Conservation and Enforcement Administrator, Resource Enforcement Administrator's position, Mr. Randy Alwell, who is the branch chief on the island of Maui. Well, now, Mr. Alwell comes here and on the week, I guess, and I don't know all the particulars, but remember that we are short of cash and we are raising soda taxes and we are yelling at nurses and we're doing all kinds of things and on the Abercrombie approach and the Schatz. Now let's make sure we include Brian Schatz, because at some point he's going to say, I wasn't part of that team, or he's going to find him to stay out of the light and not be standing there with Abercrombie, because I can see this ship slowly sinking. But what happens is that Mr. Awu comes to the island of Oahu and in turn serves as the acting administrator. Well, you get per diem per day when you're here. Then if he flies home on the weekends or whenever, they weren't clear and they didn't bother, they being the governor and Donald and De La Cruz, who I wrote on two separate occasions, didn't find it necessary or to even consider responding to my questions. And I had indicated that I would be discussing the subject on air today. So, what happens? Can we afford to have a acting administrator acting now? Because when you're acting, you're really not, you don't have the say that you would have as a permanent person steering the ship. We have a temporary captain, so to speak, of the ship. And if we have that, how can we afford to pay the per diem? And I ask the questions that how long will he continue to do this? So Neil Abercrombie told me personally in a conversation before he got in that he was going to get in and fix this issue with the DLNR, and we were going to fix it. And I'm informed that William Isler, I don't know if it was to preempt what it is that I wrote them asking about, but they did a little story that they're going to hire more people. Get that? They're looking to hire more people. Yet, I can show you a laundry list of things that are broken right now. ATVs purchased, they're parked, sitting up, because the men are not trained to drive them, don't have the certification. Rifles that were purchased, big bucks to buy these rifles, not being used. Waste of money. So you come on at 7:30 or somewhere in the 7-ish hour in the morning, and you get off at 4:30. You have to get an act of Congress as a game warden to work at night or after hours, after 4:30. So why do you think we need more people? But anyway, supposedly we're strapped for cash. Supposedly Abercrombie, by appointing Isla, was going to come in there and look at things and fix things and be more responsive and more responsible. And yet, we are paying per diem to a gentleman. And if anybody out there know what a temporary administrator would get in per diem per day, please try and give me a call. I maybe you can give me some insight, because if the governor isn't willing to answer these questions, or have Deborah Ward to respond, or Donald and De La Cruz to respond, then I guess we can just assume anything. And I don't want to be that reckless. But there's a problem here. Mr. Neil Abercrombie, Governor Abercrombie, simply do not respect any of us. The only ones he respects is the Bill Conecos and the people in that circle that he travels in. Apparently, you and I are not in his sight, as, or don't fall within his scope to be respectful or anything. But I find it quite interesting that I can't get a press release from them, and I can't get them to respond to even questions. And I did in fact invite him to come on the show on many occasions. One occasion he was too busy, it was a Father's Day, no offer to do the phone or do later or pre-tape anything. And that's consistent also with the way Gary Gill treats me. While talking to other media, he's vociferous. But when it comes to me, he didn't have any time. He was too busy, or just flat out not going to respond. But isn't it funny that I can't get any response from the governor or his office or anything, that he won't respond to the questions of per diem with AWO and the lack of leadership in the DLNR's law enforcement branch. And also they're having problems with the aquatics office having a permanent administrator. So that too is temporary. But it's funny that Neil Abercrombie was quick to jump out and resolve the Barack Obama birth certificate matter, but he's nowhere to be seen, heard, or respond by email, Twitter, Ditter, Flitter, or anything. Because we just don't matter. We're the little people. And I don't mean that in a negative way. We are the little people. We don't matter to Neil Abercrombie. That's the bottom line. Because I can pick up the phone and call a total stranger in another state, and you would be knocked over with the way how cordial and how responsive they are. And I'm not even a citizen in that state. I can call Canada, send an email. I get a response, a kind, courteous response, timely. I can call the city fire department, kind, courteous, and timely. They don't have anything to hide. Later on, you'll see they're quite open, good people, do good work. But this guy and this Schatz guy, as you saw, as I talked about it with the OIP issues, where Neil didn't want to disclose who the judges are that he had picked to serve as judge. He came up with some nonsense explanation that was nonsensical. That's the best way to describe it. As if we're supposed to just trust him. And this is where we are. The budget, I don't think he has a clue of what he's doing. 40 years of public handouts, he's had the luxury and had that position as congressman, and then he served in the legislature here. He's had more hands out for, when you look back pound for pound, dollar for dollar, for what he's brought to us. I think he probably came out ahead compared to what we got from him and what we're getting from him. You don't stand and insult nurses who just simply caring to ask and for the betterment of their future, for addressing the cost of living, addressing work conditions and whatever. You hold your tongue. You bite your tongue. Even if you wish to talk about it. They don't have any obligations to go and testify on the governor's behalf because he wanted to raise the Coke taxes or the soda taxes. So that's how absurd this gentleman is behaving, Mr. Neil Abercrombie. Good morning, caller. Hey, comment or question?
I was told to give you the number 586-0034 to reach Abercrombie, the governor.
Well, he can call me. Okay, well, Governor, apparently whoever it is out there, you're welcome to call and give us a call here. 524-1080. If you are listening, Governor Abercrombie, please give us a call. I'm unable to give you a call, but I'd be happy to receive a call from you. Aloha. But anyway, whoever that was, good morning. Call a comment, a question.
How are you doing?
I'm fine.
I think Mr. Abercrombie is doing a good job.
Well, good.
Why don't you call him?
Do you have his number? I'd be more than happy to receive a phone call.
If I gave you the number, call him. I want to hear him and you talk together. I think
you're
doing a good job.
Did you hear my comments?
Abercrombie's are doing a good job.
Did you hear
my
comments?
We're all doing a good job in a positive way.
Right.
Of our beautiful lives that we have over here.
Okay, well, thank you. But if you have the number, did you hear what I said? I didn't have the ability to call him. So
you didn't have, or you don't have that ability.
You
got to
listen.
Maybe he can call you. Abercrombie, call up.
I can't be emotional now. If you know, you got to listen.
Pardon?
You got to listen to what I said. I don't have the ability to call him from this station.
Yes,
so
yes,
have him to call me. Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
I wanted to tell you, you know what? They give all the food away to the poor people.
Mm-hmm.
The poor people take the food and they give them to the birds.
Mm-hmm.
And the birds is messing up the city with all the droppings, the bowel movement at the bus stops.
Well, I have another caller. Let me answer that, okay?
Okay.
Thank you,
Mr. Carroll. Bye-bye.
Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
I'm not near Abercrombie.
Okay.
And number two, I'll give you, I can't pay for him. I was one of the guys up there on the Licky Licky every morning with my other friend, a union guy. Now, I thought Neil was going to be, somebody was going to alleviate some of the problems, and he's totally disgusted me from day one, it seems like, you know what I mean? But let's get back to the nurse. Now, I'm not going to stick up for him, but you know, the nurse that he was talking to or something, some other guy had mentioned that he was incorrigible to her or something.
Mm-hmm.
Were you there, Carol?
Yeah. Was I there?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. So that, what we heard was secondhand, right? What Neil said to the nurse.
I'm gonna defer to you. I was not there.
I wasn't there either.
So go ahead.
I'm just saying somebody had said that. I'm not sticking up for the nurse. I'm not sticking up for
you. Well, they showed a video of him. That was a video.
But what I'm sticking up for is the soda tax.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I don't know. Do you drink soda? I'm not going to be prejudiced. I don't drink soda.
Okay.
And to me, I've seen people that drink soda have all kind of weird problems, you know. I mean, soda drinkers, like two or three a day, every day. You know, if you have soda, you know, once a week or, you know, whatever. You know what I mean? But if you're drinking them every single day, it is not good for your health and it's not good for society.
Right.
Because you got the waste of the can. Number two, you yourself are going, you're losing production out of you as a human being.
Mm-hmm.
That you could be better than a man instead of, you know, down in the ground. Sooner than you should be going in there.
So are we, is the issue the soda, or is the issue that we have a situation here with bad economics,
bad economics, but Abercrombie inherited that. You know, he's just trying to alleviate, and he looks back on what is bad for society, and you can get money, and these people, they don't want to listen and get off the soda.
Well, Bob,
give them more money, because all them healthcare people kind of got to take care of you, and especially if you are homeless, and you know, you're an overweight guy, you know what I mean? You're taxing the system. It's the whole thing. If we were a healthier society, we'd have way less problems.
So taxing it would stop people from make them healthier? The soda, taxing the soda?
It's hard to hear you, you know, but I want to carry on a conversation. The soda tax should be, I don't even if it's a penny. I'm not going to choke you with a nickel or a dime. You know, a penny at a time. We get the money in there to help care for these people.
But then, you know,
the thing about the homeless, I don't know how you stand on this, Mr. Carroll.
I'm here.
The homeless, you know, they're not feeding them and all this other stuff. The people ought to get up off their butts. And, you see, I think it's a problem by letting them, by bringing the food right to the door. Now, families, you can serve them, you know. They're the first ones to get served in the line. The last one to get served in the line is somebody that came from the mainland and is hanging out over here trying to get something for nothing.
Right, well...
That's the last guy I'm going to feed.
Now, there's two things here. First of all, Abercrombie didn't just inherit this problem. He volunteered. He put himself in the path of this problem.
Right.
Okay.
He put his butt on the line.
No. He didn't put his butt on the line. He came and said, with my expertise. Now, let's not simplify this. Let's look at the bigger picture. See, we
I tell you, Cal, he's a failure as far as I'm concerned so far. He hasn't done nothing right.
Right. But I'm just saying to you, you know, when someone says, he inherited...
I remember when I heard that he sold pot down there on the street as a taxi cab driver.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And I was there at that time. You know, 1971, 1964, 1965, 1966, up into the 70s. And then he got into politics, yeah?
Yeah.
So, he's been around the block. He knows the problems.
Well,
give him a chance, too. That's made it back in my mind.
We gave him a chance. And the question is, maybe... he should just get down to work and the brass tacks of the work and maybe not insult people. Maybe refrain from his antics.
Not get caught up in a room and say, solve some problems and don't make trouble with the people.
Right.
But
Well, I mean, you know, it's like saying he's a clown, and let's see if we can keep him from being funny for a while. No, he promised. He promised us.
Yeah, right. You know what I mean? But he's gonna be around for 2 months. What do you rather have? A Duke Iona running the show?
The only problem I had with Iona was the willingness to give us all to God and church, and other than that,
that's what I'm trying to say. He would sacrifice you in a minute.
Well,
he was in his parish.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I think I got another caller, but
okay, you have a good day, Carol.
Okay. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Carol.
Good morning.
Aloha, Filippo here.
Yes, sir.
Circling the wagons on
you. You there? Filippo? I lost you there. Give me a call back there, Filippo. Don't know if you can hear me there. But... Okay, we lost a caller there. We'll try getting them back. Anyway, this is just unfortunate. I'm going to pick this up in this second hour, but that caller, apparently, I like this, but good morning, caller.
Hi.
Yes.
Hey, Filippo again.
Okay.
You hear me now?
Yeah, I can, and I'm coming down in the last couple of minutes, but if you'd like to...
Okay.
No. You can call me back in the second hour.
It should be that, like they're circling the wagon when you start to mention people in power, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And they have all their lieutenants keep calling all over the place and try to stop you. But
well...
I want you to keep it up, brother. We need it. As you said, he promised.
Yeah.
He said he know where the money is, but we didn't know that money is in our pocket, or was in our pocket.
Well, I
wanted to ask you...
Go ahead.
I know you've done this before, but would you do an update on HARP? Up-and-coming programs?
Yeah, you mean the HARP and the CHAFE and the climatical...
High frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Of the atmosphere?
Yeah.
It seems to be working very well.
Judging
from what's going on.
I think so. And it's always been a strategy of governments to military.
Oh, yeah. They've been at it since 1958.
Yeah. Why don't you do this in the second hour?
Okay.
Give me a call back and we'll take up a little piece of that because...
All right, brother.
If you can control the weather and make it muddy for a guy that needs to cross a plane, muddy plane, you can stall him, right?
Certainly.
Okay. Give me a call back.
Hello.
Yeah, this is an effort. I would give anything to have Mr. Abercrombie to call by hook or crook. However we can get him to call, it's okay with me. Don't want to be disrespectful, but enough is enough already. So we'll see what happens. And I'll be back in the next hour. This is the Carol Cox Show, 524-1080. If you have any agreement, disagreement, or whatever you like, please don't hesitate to call.
I've got letters here I've written I never meant to send. Beauty I've always missed with these old eyes before. Truth is, I can't say no more, but I love you.
Stay tuned. tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108. To the Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM K108.
Okay, good morning again and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. 524-1080 is the number. Whoever it was again, I haven't heard from the governor. If he wants a call, I'd be more than happy to allow him to share with us and correct me or give us a better insight or give us some reason to be more patient or be patient. Anyway, there are a number of things. I appreciate when people call up, and quite naturally, this isn't the maim and blame game here at the station, and it is not my intent, but I also have to be very frank and honest while being Carol. You know, it's one thing to assume and call up and say he's a good man. He really is a good man. But is he a good politician, or is he a good representative? That's what we're speaking to. That's the vein that I speak in. I don't know these people personally. Wouldn't bother to get to know them, other than they're good people. Be nice to them. but in the capacity when you do things and you promise that you can do things, don't stand up and beat your chest if you're not willing to do that and follow through. That's what this is about. That's what the debate is. Nothing to do whether he's a good man. Everybody is a good man. The guy that predicted the world was going to end is a good man, but he was off base, especially to say the Bible was guaranteeing his beliefs. So anyway, so that I don't confuse any of you with what's personal and what personal dislikes I have about a politician, I ask that you just listen to me and give me the chance of presenting to you facts that reflect that something's broken, and it's not me. I'm just pointing them out. So don't educate the messenger. I'll take Tai Chi on my private moments. But that is one of the things. I got a caller that wanted to know if you want to call in. Yeah, anyone can call in. Be more than happy. I got a text here. That's the problem with getting texts and all of that at the same time, trying to talk and run a board. But let me give you, some of you saw. Good morning, caller. Comment or question?
No, this is Rosebud of Waikiki.
Uh-huh.
What we need is another 4 more years of Obama's aggressive policy that he's been doing. He's been doing great. And we need the DEA to look at their war on drug policy, because mm-hmm. we're spending hundreds of billions of dollars a year to fight the war on drugs, while the drug cartel are making billions of dollars having it.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're doing is we're creating a catch-22. If we didn't put so much effort into fighting medical marijuana and legalizing marijuana, which the Food and Drug Administration classified as a weed, and a weed is anything, according to Webster's Dictionary, that you don't want in your garden, we would have less problems and less Al Capones and less problems with drug cartels from all over the world trying to break our borders.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you think some of the people down there, the war on drugs, would benefit if we just directed the money toward health, mental health issues and whatever?
Well, see, if we turned around and took the taxation from the money of the medical marijuana, actually taxing it, giving the drug dealers who sell marijuana business license on an actual peddler's level, I'm selling you a peddler's license, which means you're allowed to peddle the stuff. I'm selling you a business license, which means you're your own private business, which means that they would actually have to file taxes each year as an independent business owner.
Okay.
The taxes from that, plus some taxes that they would pay to the city, would actually increase and eventually put our deficit from the black that, or from the red that it's in, into black within at least a minimum of 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you.
Okay, well, I tell you what. One day, if you want to come in and talk about that, make sure you bring enough munchies. It sounds like it better last for the hour. But I welcome your comments and your call in, and give me a call back. And
well, I'll tell
I'd
you what. You put
that.
Your address over the radio, and remember, every time you take a break, don't forget to give out that number so people can call in and voice their opinion.
That's what it's about. Well, thank you.
And don't forget to give your address. And, yes, I will show up.
You can send me an email at carol@carolcox.com. Tell me when you're available.
I'm Dragon Rider, DRAGEONRIDER, lowercase letters, at yahoo.com.
Okay.
Email me, and I'll email you back.
All righty. Okay.
This is Rosebud from Waikiki.
All righty, Rosebud.
Okay. Love you.
All righty. Aloha. Well, everything goes as long as it's decent and what have you. But again, feel free to call in. I can hop off track, get back on track. But anything is fair game as long as it's decent and respectable. But let me pick up from where I left. We talk about how nice someone is and the politicians. Now, some of you may have caught some of the stories. News Now, Hawaii News Now, did a series on trash, paradise trash. And there was one, on the first one, there was where I worked with them to, this is speaking about a facility at Sand Island. The land is owned by the state of Hawaii, DLNR, Land and Natural Resources. But it's the master lessee is the Sand Island Business Administration. They leased it to a gentleman named Michael Chalk, who subleased it to someone in Bill Mahas. If you saw the story, it spoke about Mr. Bill Mahas, who was one of the operators, and his daughter was also involved. The name in the state records show that either Bill Mahas or his daughter Skippy Mahas and others were involved. And this has gone on for 10 years, at least. This is one of the rare occasions, folks, that the state, Department of Health, actually took this gentleman to task. They dotted every I, they crossed every T, they tried to get the law enforcement, the Attorney General's office in, and they did a fabulous job. Trust me. Now, they appeared in this piece on TV. Now, those that you that want to defend Governor Neil Abercrombie, go right ahead. And this isn't about money. So when you see him pointing and swinging and shouting and whatever it is, I wasn't there, as Bob pointed out. But the video don't lie. Taken out of context. I didn't hear Abercrombie raise an issue that it was taken out of context, that it didn't happen. So I'm going to go on the assumption that it did happen until I hear from him officially that it wasn't him, it was a stand-in. So they... The state health department spokespersons, Grace Simmons, I mean, if you want to see the perfect citizen, the perfect state employee, the perfect employee who works for the people, you need to go down there, and there are a great many of them, and she is one of them. Now, I haven't heard this from her straight firsthand, but reliable sources told me that the governor's office is tasking that office now because they gave a bad image of the state, that they were defenseless, that the state had no teeth, and that by going on TV and just sharing with the public as of the state of affairs, I'm told now, and I'm going to write the governor again, probably wait another 100 years to get a response. We ignored, but it'll fall on deaf ears. But I'm going to ask, why is it that when good state workers do their job, take 10 years and chase this gentleman, oil, chemicals, grease, and all, allowed to run into the streets for 10 years that they were trying to prosecute and to, based on what tools they have, to take care of this. And this gentleman would go behind and sublease. In my efforts of investigating this to prepare for this show, I discovered that this gentleman, Mahas, had two other facilities. One of them he was in the process of being evicted, we were told, by the Department of Hawaiian Homeland. Mr. Kali Watson, who's a master lessee there in Kalailoa of this property. I got video of pictures there, and you can see them at carolcox.com, CarrollCox.com. And I just want to read you something. So those of you that think this is about yelling at nurses and about getting upset and not giving him the chance, I'll give a man 1,000 years to do what's right. But when I find that he's failing to do what's right and also browbeating those that are doing what's right, it's time to expose him, to let you know that it's a godsend to see him publicly behave like that. That's the truth of this person's character, Mr. Abercrombie. So I'm going to read you, this is a timeline, and I'm not going to read it all, but October 1994, driveline component located at 2831 Kahihi Kapu Street, Honolulu, operated without a solid waste permit. Mahas eventually applied for a permit But on November 1998, DOH moved to revoke solid waste permit for noncompliance. These aren't my words. These are the words of the people that did their job impeccably, and then the governor's administration or the governor, whomever it is, they're sneaky, and they will attack the people inside and punish them quietly. So that's 1994. This gentleman has been polluting and dumping in chemicals, and we have the documents to show the legal actions taken by Damien Estate there in Mapunapuna. 1999, Driveline moves to 1006 Mikoli Street, Sand Island. DOH was unaware of the move from the Mapunapuna area. October 2000, DOH noted potential violations during a joint solid hazardous waste inspection at the Mikoli facility. November 2001, return to compliance letter was specifically for the 2831 facility in Mapunapuna. Between July 1985 and 2000, Mahas was also managing another solid waste operation named Storage Services at 91543 Nukuava Street, Lot 14, K9 Industrial. He was also in Campbell Industrial Park. They had to take legal actions there because of contaminants and what he did. But the state health department was right there on top of it. But they don't have all the tools necessary to prosecute. They can only do civil actions, and these guys run ahead of the game. Yet, when they come out and reach out to inform the public, they are chastised and forced and compelled to sit down and write stupid letters to tell why they feel that they can make things better and not make the state look bad. 10 years, folks, these people did the job. August 2000, DOH noted potential violations during hazardous waste compliance inspection of Storage Services on Nukuava Street. By then, Mahas was gone from the property, but left behind a mountain of scrap metal and a major used oil, gasoline, and solvent contamination on the property. DOH requested Siri to voluntarily clean up the contamination. DOH issued joint solid waste and hazardous waste notice of violation on 20th, 2001 to Storage Services, Inc. Counts included failure to notify director of 90 days of the permanent termination of the solid facility, improper disposal of solid waste management, mismanagement of solid waste, failure to label used oil containers, and failure to respond to releases. Penalty, $57,000. June 6, 2002, Mahas agreed to the consent agreement. June 24, 2000, signed consent agreement, $15,000 for $420, $15,420, which placed Mahas on a payment plan. Penalty has never been paid. March 9, 2005, DOH here, Hazardous Waste and Clean Water Branch, responded to a complaint of used oil release from Mikoli Street facility. Since then, the numerous site visits have been conducted with hazardous waste personnel being denied access to some occasion, on some occasion. We've asked the state criminal, federal criminal investigators to follow up and also accompanying them. And yet, forget the nurse. Forget the Coke bottle fee. Let's ask Mr. Abercrombie, why does he, do he wish to, in his administration, if he's not responsible for it, why would he task good, hardworking, honest people that did their job and come out in public, just simply explain the situation, and they are going to be punished? This has nothing to do with the nurse. This has something to do with the sick patient, and that sick patient is our politicians. They're just sick. They got a fever. Good morning, caller. Comment or question?
Yeah, this is Rosebud. The number you're looking for is 586-0034. That's the number you call to make an appointment with Abercrombie's staff.
Okay.
So you can turn around. So make sure that number goes out to the people. That's 586-0034.
All right.
And Arthur the Breeze says hello.
Okay. All righty. Thank you. All right. Well, again, now, I am not speechless. I'm simply, how do I say this with and be kind and courteous to my listeners and not be offending, not offending them or offending anyone? But how many examples do I have to show you or share with you or cut up and prepare and serve it up to you where you will refrain from telling me how good of a person is, when in fact, if it's okay, just call and tell me these things don't matter. I would prefer hearing that rather than being told that he's a nice person. If you believe that telling you that they've squandered $2 million to buy 8 trucks for garbage and they don't work, tell me that you don't like to hear that. But don't tell me, spare me, in telling me how good of a person these administrators are or these politicians are. Nothing personal, but I could expend my time. Maybe I could go back out and help the birds, because if you're not offended that they don't want to feed people, then maybe I need to go and start feeding the cats and taking care of them and the birds and mind my bees and Q's, you know? But anyway, don't want to offend you, but I must tell you, you need to look back and see and get a grasp of what I'm trying to share with you. Process it. Incorporate it in your thinking. Incorporate it in your daily activity. Incorporate it in your voting. Don't vote who I tell you to, but start to incorporate these things and be reminded of them. So, I tell you how good these state people are, that the governor and his administration wants to browbeat and punish them, like he probably would do the nurses if he had a chance. So, I want to highlight this. You know, you hear me talk, when I say here locally, speak about the different agencies, but I'm going to wave their flag today, the health department, the solid and hazardous waste branch, specifically the hazardous waste branch and the solid waste branch. They didn't just sit down on the job, even after 10 years of chasing this gentleman, Mr. Bill Mahas, and we're trying to resolve this for the interest of the people and the environment. This is what they did. They, Solid and Hazardous Waste Branch, went further when they found that nothing worked for them. They turned around and charged their sister agency, the Department of Health, a state agency, took legal action against a sister agency in the state, which is the Department of Land and Natural Resources. And they issued the state Land and Natural Resources, and it states here, this notice of violation and order, NOV, is an administrative enforcement action initiated pursuant to Chapter 91 and 342J-7 of the Hawaii Revised Statutes by the Department of Health against the respondent, Department of Land and Natural Resources. And they list them, and you can find this also, I'm not going to bore you with the full details of it, at carolcox.com, CarolCox.com. And just to give you an example, count one, they charged them, and they are telling them, you've failed to properly manage used oil. And there were 55-gallon drums of used oil that had structural defects such as dents, rust, and missing drum covers at the site. Okay? And that's just a list. That's 6 items. And count two, failures to properly label. Now, this is all occurring on state land now, Department of Land and Natural Resources land. And you heard me earlier, this gentleman was also on Department of Hawaii and Homelands, also doing the same thing. Count two, basically, a failure to properly label or mark used oil containers, but again, 200-gallon totes of used oil that were not properly labeled and provides containers, and on and on. Count three, failure to respond to release. Count four, failure to properly manage the lead acid batteries as universal waste. And they assign count one, $21,060. Count two, $21,060. Count three, $25,000. Count four, $18,000, $720. Now, they have fined the Department of Land and Natural Resources. This, when Laura Thielen, they wrote this to Laura Thielen when she was in, and they have fined a total of $85,840. for these violations that they allow to occur on their land. So in other words, instead of calling up and chastising the DLNR for being so reckless and irresponsible in leasing out land and turning their backs on the land and allowing oil to drain down the gutters and into the ocean and into the environment, this administration is going to go beat up on the people that did the job, that do the job. We rely on them to protect us. So if you browbeat them, you're going to have them hunkering down. And guess who? You only have to look up to this nice man. Now, I would love to bring this to his attention, but he don't talk to people like me, because I guess I wouldn't fit into the equation. If you're going to be browbeating people and you're going to scold them and yell at them and tell them they should have been where they shouldn't have been, but they should have been, but when you ask to be there, they won't let you be there. So it's a ball of confusion. This situation here, if you were to see the conditions, that TV report showed that 2 inches of oil caked on the streets. And this went on for years on Department of Land and Natural Resources. This is the agency that manages our wildlife, that manages our resources, our natural resources, that manages our land. And yet, I spoke to Mr. Ilo recently. I called him 2 weeks prior to alert him to this, that I was doing this, putting this thing together. And I didn't get any response, so I got a call the other day. A block call, mind you. I guess they all call, you know, block calls because they don't want you to call them back. You might call them up and curse them or educate them on something. But good morning, Carl. Any comment or question?
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Cox. This is Jim Bannigan. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
Very fine, thank you.
Sound like you just got out of the bed.
Yeah.
Late riser, huh?
Sorry, I couldn't be in your studio, but I got up. I worked very late today. Last night, I just got up earlier. Well, anyway, I'm listening to what you're talking about, and unfortunately, Mr. Mayhouse is one of the bad players in the recycling community.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's unfortunate that, as you said, that people do the right thing by the government, does the Department of Health does the right thing in trying to, stop it, and they get chastised for it. It's uncalled for.
Yeah, and what's problematic here, or troublesome, is that people out there think that they would never scold Neil Abercrombie about this, because he's a good man. But the people that are putting their necks out there and walking out in harm's way get chastised. And what's really ironic here is that the same people that were in before, Gary Gill was the deputy director of the health department, environmental branch, this all occurred under his watch. Now he's back, and these people are having to answer to him, and yet he was the leader. So I don't like to use profanity on radio, so we'll call it half a Coley work, you know. That's the problem here in this town with this. And I truly, now, I have good information that this administration raised these issues with these people, and they feel threatened. But I haven't talked to them first-handed, but I don't speak unless I can say that I can put my finger on it and reliably. So it's a sad commentary about the Abercrombie administration.
Right.
But now, I talked about earlier about this. I tried to get Stanley Chang on, this councilman from Hawaii Kai, regarding this snitch of steel, which I appreciate, called in and offered some insight on it. Invited him to come on and call in, and I didn't hear from him. So I guess I need to be a little more polite or toned down. What do you think I need to do to get these guys to speak to someone that's only reading from the documents?
Well, I think personally you're doing the right thing, and just to, you know, air it out in public and let the people decide. You know, I mean, people will decide the next election if they feel that he's not doing his job.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I think in Hawaii, a lot of people really don't think about it's a personality issue versus what they've really done for you. You know,
right?
and that's unfortunate. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's just everywhere. Maybe it's just not just in Hawaii.
But we're a wiser state, and we know how to sort emotions from the facts and trouble. I know we do, because when I arrived here, I've seen in the 20 years that I've seen a state that went from aloha to hello, where are you from, how are you, to get the heck out of here.
Yeah, it's one person I know described it as the aloha, ha.
Right.
Ha now, you know, it's half of aloha.
Right, and I mean, the ultimate statement is when our governor, who's been here, I mean, did you see the cast of people that I won't call them characters, but he surrounded himself with a lot of the local people. And then to stand up and utter the fact, stop feeding people. I'm sorry, something isn't connecting there. Maybe as Rosebud say, maybe there's too much pot in the air or something. I don't know what it could be, but it's a disconnect from what the people here of Hawaii that attracted me, that caused me to stay here, because, you know, they talk about the ohana. How can a nation be insulted in this fashion when that's all you put out? I mean, I was marveling at, you mean tell me that person there is really not your child, birth child, but you treat him just or her just as nice, or that person is not your mother, but you call them mom or auntie or uncle, right?
Right.
And then you have a person who stands up and who's governing all of us and tell us don't feed the people. I don't care what it means. I may be taking it out of context, but people and don't feed should never be in the same sentence.
Yeah, you know, what's unfortunate about it is that he's, like you said, he surrounded himself with people that, the ohana, so to speak, that project that, especially Mark Alexander, who is the former second-in-command in the Diocese of Honolulu, you know, a Catholic priest. Who
mm-hmm.
Do you think that there'd be some empathy there, but it's all talk.
Yeah.
Problem.
Well,
my issue, though, right?
Right.
It was, I hate to bring you back to that, but...
Do so. I have no objection.
Bill 36, I just wanted to bring you an update. Bill 36 apparently has a couple of amendments, CD1 to it now.
Mm-hmm.
This is the bill that amends the tip fee, which is a fee that companies pay to tip waste into the landfill.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it was amended in the Budget Committee hearing this past week on May 17th to CD1, and now what happens is that it steps down the tip fee reduction in from 7/1/11 till 6/30/12. The discount drops to 60%, and then the next year it's 40%, and then down to 20% in the third year, and it remains at that, you know, forever. But unfortunately, again, in the bill, there's no language in there that, as I said last week, that requires a proof that any entity needs, you know, help from the government. And apparently, testimony from the people opposed to this bill just fell on deaf ears, which is saddening, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was puzzled by change, and I thought maybe we have a breath of fresh air blowing about us with his arrival. But I have not heard any politician warn the way he did, and he became an advocate for them by telling for Snitcher, by telling me that they won't accept cars with car seats, and how does he know what they will or won't accept?
Exactly.
You know, that in itself. And then why are we paying to waste management out of that fee to so Snitcher can dump? And then why don't...
Again, this is not, and I hate to interrupt you, but this is a industry issue.
Right.
Unfortunately, Snitcher is the lead dog in this whole thing, because they, as you know, I was former general manager there, and I put together, you know, with the team that I worked with, we put together a pretty solid bill that protected the business, you know, and helped the business grow in times when we really needed it, back in 2001, when the prices for scrap metal were so low. But again, this is an industry issue, and the industry is healthy now. It wasn't back in 2001. It got a lot healthier in 2004 when the bill, the original bill that gave the 80% discount was mm-hmm. supposed to sunset. But I felt that it was important that I engineer some sort of bill that would get us this forever, you know, mm-hmm. and take away. And back in 2004 and one, there was language in there that actually said that the company had to provide a proof of need, that, you know, they'd have to come in and look at the books, and then the city and county would determine whether or not the TIP fee reduction was warranted.
Right.
And that's my issue with this. Right. It's not one company. It's there's no language in it that protects the money, and if a company's doing well, they shouldn't be able to get a TIP fee discount.
Right. I mean, if we're that destitute and that we can't, we got to put up signs, don't feed the people.
Right.
And then we're giving industry big discounts, close to $2 million. But I got a question for you. When the original allowance for waiver fees or reduction in tip fees occurred, what was the value per ton of metal? Approximately, if you can.
In 1990, this was a bill that was passed by Mayor Fossey. You
mm-hmm.
know, he was a true visionary. He felt that the industry needed help.
Mm-hmm.
And believe it or not, I was kind of helped with that also from New York, from the company. I worked for a company called Hugo New. We were building the shredder out here.
Mm-hmm.
And we were instrumental in helping that bill get passed. And what that did is it reduced the tip fee to 50%. And at the time, it was a $36 tip fee into the landfill, so they reduced it to $18. So now, from 1990, currently, you know, with the bill in 2001, to answer your question, the price of scrap metal was about $90 a ton back then.
$90 a ton when this bill...
90. 90, yes.
Okay.
And that's exclusive of freight, okay? That's in what they call a FOB price.
Okay.
Right? Exclusive of freight. And now the price of scrap metal is around $425 or $426 a ton, FOB.
And we have city councilmen begging to give breaks to people that won't require them to show there's a financial need or a hardship or anything.
Right.
And this is per Cheney himself. Now, I'm not making that assumption.
Right.
They haven't required them to show books or justification. It was, and the next question I had was, well, why would you give it? Some companies may not need 80%. They may need 10%.
Exactly.
Couldn't answer that either. But he felt that, well, he decided that that was a good number. Okay. Well, I guess we're back to it's I rather than we. So it's we the people, I guess. That's the problem. And regarding the digressing a bit on Alexander, I threw my hands up when I recall now how his own people, the church itself, were shocked because they had represented in the media that he was going on sabbatical or something.
Right, but that's pretty upsetting.
And then all of a sudden, whoop, he's the czar, homeless czar, here in Honolulu. Is that sabbatical or is that radical? You know, so...
You know, he's gone through... As you know, and you know me, and you know that I studied to be a Catholic priest for early days in my career, and you know, so, and I understand the process. He had a tough personal decision to make, an extremely difficult personal decision, and
mm-hmm.
I applaud him for making the decision.
Right.
That he made, you know, he lived up to his conscience and did what he thought was right, you know, and
mm-hmm.
So I applaud him for that, and I applaud him for his attempts to, you know, to step into a very difficult situation with the homelessness problem here and try to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, he's working for the boss, and the boss
yeah.
is the guy that sets the tone. You know, so on the one hand, you've got to speak, but the true actions are of an individual, the governor. You've kind of maybe deflect what the governor really wants. You know.
Yeah. Well, I always hold men of God to that standard. Once you declare you're a man of God, then whether you became the governor's aide or the governor's maid, you're still a man of God. I don't care what capacity comes afterwards. You made that declaration. You served in that capacity.
Right.
So your character should be built on that, grounded in that, so you don't lie to your leaders in the church and say you're going on sabbatical, but you really know you're going to do the homeless thing on here in the city. You know, that's just my perspective, my opinion, sitting back here in the underground position. So, anyway, I appreciate you calling in. Any other points on that?
No, I just know that some of the people that that I know tried to call in last week, and they had some difficulty getting through, because I know this is a hot topic within the recycling community and some of the recyclers.
Well, if you talk to them again, have them send me an email, and I will talk this thing to death, because if we're cutting benefits from citizens and seniors and programs and children's and what have you, children, I say that let's talk about it, even if it's old news, and those that don't want to hear it can tune in to some other
stuff. I heard something over the week that the mayor's, a couple of departments in, within the mayor's budget are completely being eliminated or partially being eliminated because the money's not there, and which I think is sad because, you know, then they turn around and they don't put any proof of need.
Mm-hmm.
They're giving, you know, $200,000 or $150,000, whatever the amount works out to be over the course of time. They're giving money to companies that really don't need it, you know.
Right.
As Island Recycling's owner and president testified numerous times before the council that, you know, that company gets $70,000 a year. And he doesn't need it, you know. And so sometimes you wonder, you know, does it really make, do we have to spend the time and the effort to go down and testify?
Right.
Find parking and, you know, take off from our jobs and go down there and do that. And it just seems like testimony falls on deaf ears. Nobody's listening.
Yeah. They've
already got their minds made up. And don't confuse me with facts. My mind's made up, you know. Yeah. So.
Well, if you would, send those people my direction to carol@carolcox.com, CarolCox.com. And I'd be happy. We'll do another show. I got a couple other callers, but thank you again.
All right, nice talking to you.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Good morning, caller. You have comments? Good morning, caller. You have comment or question?
Let me get fast. I know you ran up against a lot, right? I just wanted to thank you for the professional investigative work you did with this Bill Maher thing, with this illegal dumping, and, you know, failure to store properly, failure to label the waste, to mark the waste, etc. And then the complicity or lack of, not complicity, but the DLNR not doing the due diligence and following up with this.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't speak myself and all, but speaking for other taxpayers and states in the state and other citizens that, you know, you do a great job in informing us of what's going on. Otherwise, we would never know. And a lot of times, some of these TV stations wouldn't report it if you didn't bring it to their attention. Just want to thank you for that. And also, I can't understand how this guy, Bill Maher, if I'm pronouncing the name correctly, is being fined, put on a payment plan, and isn't paid yet. We can't do that.
Yeah.
The taxpayer can't. And they've had me in court or been predominantly my paycheck. Anyway, basically, I just want to thank you again for your great investigative work, for dealing with facts only, and, you know, just for verification of the rest of us out here. We really need to know what's going on, and, you know, and you can't do it. We need you there, and thanks again.
Okay.
You had a great program today, too.
Well, all righty. Well, thank you.
All right, you have a great day.
Good morning, caller. You comment a question? Well, I guess if caller hung up there. But anyway, I got to be very careful and sounding as if I don't care about your comments and all. But I think what I want to emphasize is that I do this show to get away from the he's a nice guy mindset. I do this show to get away from she's a nice person. I do this show because I'm bringing to the table information, hopefully, that you can use and discern and for yourselves what's right, what's wrong. And that's all this is about. That's not to speak to any of you that would call in and say that he's a nice guy and he's a good guy and give him a chance. I will give him a chance because I personally don't have any other means but to be patient unless we do a recall. And, you know, but speaking of politics, how do you like, when will we ever learn? I see that Miss Maisie Hirono now just got in as a, again, at the House of Representatives. But what is it with these people that one day they're in and then one day they run again? Oh, I don't like that seat. The seat's too small. I can't speak much. I can do this. But when they run for that seat, they tell you they're going to get in there and champion your causes. And don't die on them, man. Don't decide to change horses in the stream because they'll be on the back of your horse in a heartbeat. What is it that she's going to bring to the Senate that she can't do in the House? And so, you know, they all tell you, well, you know, we want seniority. We want people that have that going to fit in there because we need educated. We need people that have served there. We need tenure. Well, if she vacates her seat, then there's tenure gone in the House. And then we get a new underling, fledgling, in the House to replace her. Do we really gain? Or they both find their way through the dark? You see where we lose? Good morning, caller. Comment or question?
Hey, Carol. Nice show.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, you know, this Hirono and Edkes, they're running, same old politicians running for, you know, this Congress and whatnot. We got to get some new blood in there, that people that haven't run before, you know, just can got new ideas, you know, instead of these guys just going in there and doing it. And I thought of a person that might be a good candidate, Eric Shinseki. What do you think of him being running for Congress?
Well, I think that what I've seen of him, he reminds me of Powell.
Uh-huh.
You know, man of stature, man of reason, man of, you know. But will Mr. Noye give him the nod?
Mm-hmm.
Or would he, maybe he should start floating. I heard you call in and talk about this on another show, and they didn't want you to, you know. But I would welcome anyone.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would help and bring some new blood anyway.
Right.
And, I mean, he's been in capacity of what is it? Was he the veteran? Did Obama appoint him as part
of Veterans Affairs?
Yeah, no, I admire him. You know, I wouldn't go as far as endorsing him, but I would say new blood is new blood. But then is it new blood? Because, you see, these guys get in and they get elevated, but how much elevation did he receive from Danny Noye?
Right.
You see, so, and how much elevation did he receive from Abercrombie? Or anybody that served on the military command. So we got to be careful, but I would say some new thoughts, new brain cells, let's put it that way. That's as far as I'll go. With new brain cells and a new heart.
Right.
Other than that, I don't know the politics in this town. I mean, apparently I don't.
Right.
But yeah, I would love him, you know, but we've already been given our list that they reached back in the closet and said even Luther Hanneman was being considered. Even Charles DeJoux was being considered. So my comment would be bring him on, and I would love to see him. Maybe it would stimulate some of these people that want to play hot seat.
Right.
Or revolving chairs.
Right, I get some new ideas.
Yes, I mean, anything.
Right
now, we're stuck on stupid.
Right.
You know, just grind the ignorance in is just, it's amazing.
Yeah, and then, you know, it's a good challenge for these guys to get in and voice their opinion and maybe get some shake up over there in Congress right now.
Yeah, but, you know, what? Ed Keynes went to run, then they didn't want him to run, and Hanibus went in for the temporary, then DeJoux went in. Boy, are we shooting ourselves in the foot every time.
Right.
Isn't that amazing? Look at in the last couple of years, what we have sent to Congress, not the individual, but we sent them with temporary bags, overnight bags.
Right.
Everybody that went there, we've been in a temporary mode.
Uh-huh.
Akaka was there, but he knew he wasn't going to run again.
Right.
Hirono is there, but she, you know, Hanabusa just got there.
Right.
DeJoux ran and won.
Uh-huh.
So everybody that we have representing us beside Danny Noye got a temporary overnight kit with him.
Yeah, Abercrombie went backwards.
Yeah.
How you figure?
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. Gosh, man, you call more often.
Okay, Gary, take care.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
Good point. But anyway, this is, well, for some of you that say he's a good person, this isn't about Carol Cox. This isn't about Neil Abercrombie or Governor Abercrombie. This is about our future and how and the decay that we see and we're detecting amongst us. You know, that's about it. I wish I could be more eloquent and sophisticated and sane, but I think that hopefully delivers my message to you that we're caught in a quagmire. And the funny part about it is we know better. There are signs along the way that says, don't step here. Don't vote for that person. We know who he is. We know he's part of the machine or she's part of the machine. So when we find ourselves stuck, we only have ourselves to blame, to be honest with you. And I'm hoping from today's show that we're able to go away with, given everything that we see that flashes on TV and people like myself sit here and present to you in the newspaper, when state workers do their job and then they're tasked with having to write a mountain of paper and then some threatened with their positions in their workplace because they did the right thing, we all need to have, because if we're not concerned with that, but we would speak overtly about how nice a politician is, but when that politician inflicts injury on workers that are doing the job and protecting us, then we need a reality check. Where are those nurses? We need to see a nurse because we have a problem. But anyway, I appreciate you joining in with me, and may not be the right thing to be said, but it's a factual thing that's said. And I hope to see you next weekend, and we'll there's some interesting things coming in the news tomorrow, so I would, if I was you, I would watch Hawaii News Now and look at that. There's some interesting findings. I'm not going to say what, but please do. And I'll talk to you tomorrow. Sunday, I'm sorry. Aloha.
All the way to the state, I really care about it.
Enough is enough for this garbage.
All the way to the state, I really care about it.
Johnny, go look at this.
for listening, and tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show on K108.